Our scripture lesson this morning is taken from the 139th Psalm, the first 12 verses, and then the 23rd and 24th. As we read and hear these words today, may we open ourselves to God's illumination. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the furthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me. Your right hand shall hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light around me become night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day. The darkness is as light to you. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. See if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Amen. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May your word, Holy One, inspire these human words so that what are mine will fall away and what is yours might be lifted up as a bright light to lead us this day and every day. Amen. This psalm is attributed to David, and by all accounts, this was a psalm of David. It was written in about 1016 BC. And you can hear the joy in the lyric of the psalmist here. He is excited. This psalm is one that's meant to be sung, and you can hear in the flow of the words, the excitement. When he says, there is nowhere that I can go that you're not there. And it's this great joy that leaps forth in him, this sense of awe that God is always there. As we read these words, can we think of a moment in our lives when we experienced that same awe, when it felt like we were all alone, and then something happened to make us realize that we are never alone, that God is in that moment. Some moment of panic or disaster or great trial in our life or illness where we really just seem so alone, covered in darkness, as the psalmist says. And the light breaks through, and we realize that God is there, even there. Our darkest moments are not dark to God. And so he continues verse after verse, using examples of the farthest things that he can think of to show the depth of belief that God is always there with us. There is nothing that we do, nothing that we think, nothing that we say that is beyond God. How awesome is that? How unsettling is that? How terrifying is that? To think that God knows what we're going to say even before we say it. You know, we all do and say and think things when we think no one is watching or listening or paying attention to us. It's funny how when we approach a stop sign, for example, there's no one around except for that police car right on the corner. We make certain that we stop, full stop at that stop sign, don't we? We don't float that. We stop because the authority is there. How many of us would love to be in the middle of a shopping excursion on Amazon.com when our boss walks in and stands behind us? It is unsettling, in a sense, to know that God is always with us. How can we justify those emotions, though? That thanksgiving that we're never alone, that awesomeness that we experience in knowing God, and yet that sense of unease because God never leaves us alone. The psalmist doesn't seem to be incredibly worried about that. He has gone through a great deal by this point in his life. And so maybe he thinks that he has thought every negative thought, spoken every unkind word, done every bad deed that he's going to do. And so now it's okay for God to be present in all ways and in all things. Sadly, I'm not to that place yet. Are you? Do you think that you've said all the bad things you're going to say? Done all the bad things you're going to do? If so, please see me after service. I want you to teach me. But isn't it in that teaching where God comes in to play? The psalmist is incredibly bold toward the end of this song, where he says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. See if there is any wicked way in me." Search me, test me. Have you known people? I was one of these people. I learned well in school, but I didn't test well. I felt like I knew the material, but oftentimes would choke in taking a test. Do we really want to ask God to test us, to search us? What might God find? Here's a bigger question. What might we find that we'd rather not look at in ourselves? We do a lot in this country, especially, to work on the outside. Women in this country last year spent over $7 billion on cosmetics. Have you noticed all the new marketing for men? I promise, I never thought I would see so many hair products aimed at men. Witness hair products aimed at men. Who is the largest target now for Botox injections? Would you guess white women over 40 perhaps? Nope. The largest new target for Botox injection is young men in their early 20s. I can name half a dozen people with whom I'm friends, who every 6 weeks have Botox injections because they want to keep that young look. There's plastic surgery today, and I really was fascinated with this because I learned that it's possible for me to have six packs that are not in my refrigerator and six packs that don't require me to go to the gym. I can have plastic surgery now to show off my abs that are implanted to make me look like I've done the work. We can dress up the outside. We can change our appearance. But that's not where the change matters. Someone said this morning, "Oh, wow, you look terrific. You've lost weight." I got sunburn. But see, it's a distraction from that which is difficult. It's easy to change the color of your hair or to put on a new shirt. It's not so easy to change what's on the inside. And that's where the problem comes in. Do we really want to pray to God, "Search me, test me, find out if there's anything wrong there"? That's a bold prayer. And it's not one we can come to unless we are ready for the answer. When we say, "God, test me," what are the consequences of that test? Here's the good news. It's not a final exam. It's a midterm test that won't count against us in the final. It's a test designed to see where we are and what we need to do to get to where we want to be. When we come to God and we say, "Test me," there is fear in that for me, for what I might find. Do we think that we can do everything that's asked of us? Do we work as if we can do that forever? Do we honestly believe that we don't have biases within us, or that prejudice is something that exists only out there? Do we believe that we are free from judging other people? Do we believe that we have no privilege? Do we believe all that we tell ourselves? This is an opportunity for us to go from what we have always done to what God would have us do. I love this quote from Richard Foster. "The contrast between God's way and ours is never more acute than in this area of human change and transformation. We focus on a specific action. God focuses on us. We work outside in. God works inside out. We try. God transforms." We try. God transforms. We have, friends, an obligation as followers of Jesus Christ to try to be the best people we can be. But ultimately, the transformation comes not from us, but from God. Do we smile on the outside when we are broken on the inside? What makes a gay man or a woman stay in the closet or even when we come out, be afraid to stand up to those who would speak ill of us, try to change us, try to preach us straight. What prevents us from standing up and saying, I am a child of God? We're afraid, and justly so. These are not fears that all start within. We're surrounded by reasons to think of ourselves differently. We can do more. We can be happy when in fact we're crying inside. When we pray this prayer, search me, O God. Test me and see if anything is evil there. We're actually doing two things. We're saying, you find it and show us what it is. Because with God, we can start to be all that we are meant to be. Because God can and does transform us, we can strip away all of the outside work that we do and be okay with being sad or lonely or angry. It's admitting what we're feeling, admitting that we have prejudices and biases, and that we capitalize on our position. Because as we become more honest with ourselves, we become more attuned to God's transforming power in our lives. Yes, we have an awesome God that is with us no matter where we are, but the real awesomeness comes in this difficult prayer to pray. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. See if there is any wickedness within me, and lead me in the way everlasting. When we pray this difficult prayer, we come to understand this truth. That no matter where we've been, no matter how we have failed each other, God or ourselves, God finds in us a redeeming value. God finds in us all that's wicked and pushes it aside to find that which is good and builds from that so that we might truly relish knowing that we cannot hide from God. Test me, O God, and lead me in the way everlasting. Amen. Would you join me?